Hey kids, it's that time again. Tiny Table 3 is on the air. Today we're talking about, who are we? We're looking deep into our soul. This is the podcast of three, now four nerds
Tiny Table
that
four.
Sit around a tiny table, sort of. We're growing and talk about all the things that we love or don't love from this week, and we hope you join us every week. We enjoy doing this shit. This week we're talking naked wrestling. Who would you pay to see fight? This is not talking about jello fights or mud fights, guys. Don't get crazy. It's about your favorite nerd fights and which one would you pay good money to have a front row ticket to. Our weekly wrap up, we're talking about the Game of Thrones concert live. Power Rangers. Pow, pow, Power Rangers. Wait, is that Power Rangers?
I'm with you, Cloud. I don't give a shit.
And then Mass Effect. The Right Game is about America, a recently released comic from the Marvel Universe, and Miss Marvel, two comics that are female-focused or have the primary person as female. Mm-hmm. And then our advice actually comes from Milo. It's not really advice, but he talks some deep shit tonight, and it's good. So yeah. Listen in for the end.
He is solving the issue of race in America.
Dude, like, today. That was real. Listen in.
And as a minority, I think that it really spoke truth.
Shut up. You need a ride to the airport. Don't push your luck.
This is Cloud City. You can find me at geek_is_in.
And this is Small Stack. You can find me at Small Stack on Twitter. And you can find me on Instagram at SmallStack_TT3. And, of course, on TinyTable3.com.
And this is Milo. You can find me at Miletos on Twitter, at NightTrain465 on Instagram. And I actually wrote an article recently about Mass Effect 2. Or Mass Effect Andromeda. I shouldn't say Mass Effect 2 because there's a Mass Effect 2. People. Mass Effect Andromeda. And my first 2 hours into it, and I write it as a fan who doesn't want to bitch about everything just because it isn't perfect. Anyways, yeah, so there you go.
And I am the fourth wheel, Jeff. A.K.A.
A car needs four wheels, dude.
At the Gould member. And I am a writer here at TinyTable3.com and frequent contributor. So...
Yeah, you're on the podcast.
Dude. Yeah, I'm on the podcast.
We just already have the name.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Can't change the name.
Together, we're Tiny Table 3. You can find us on tinytable3.com, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, all the things, SoundCloud. Make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, subscribe to the podcast. And we'd love to hear from you even more often. So chat away. We tell you guys every week these handles and where you can find us because we'd love to hear from you. So feel free. And with that, let's get this shit going.
Let's do this shit.
Get ready for some real deep stuff, guys.
Let's do this.
Give us a little,
like in the words of Aquaman.
Get your rain. Yeah. Get your rain boots on. This is about to get deep.
Yeah. Get your
James Hetfield.
Yeah.
Not your friend. I'm not your pal, buddy. I'm not your buddy guy. I'm not your guy. Man. I'm not your man, dude.
Okay. Guys, ready for this?
I mean, as ready as we'll ever be.
Ready.
Okay. Okay, how's everybody doing?
Yay! Hey.
Let's just jump right into the action.
How come I always get a sore throat like right before I'm going to do anything?
I don't know, but you...
too much dick.
Dude!
Ooh, man.
And we're ready.
Guess someone's not going to the airport today.
Roll it. Okay, we were already rolling.
So. Driving your vehicle.
Sorry.
All right.
No, I thought that was great. Naked! Wrestling.
That was good for a while.
Yeah, I could have gotten that for another half hour, I think.
Pretty good.
So we're going to be doing our nerd
argument. Oh, wrestling,
argument.
By the way.
wrestling. This is our nerd argument for the week. We have, one of my favorites, although I'm still considering my choices at this point. We're going to be doing If You Had to Pay Top Dollar. So Top Dollar Vegas Fight Night. What fighting sequence would you pay for that front row seat to see the battle in person?
Mm-hmm. Anybody got any?
Best on-screen fight that you want to see live. So, remember, this is something that will be in your face. So, I like the end of Man of Steel, which is fine, but I don't want to be fucking near that fight.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I can't see anything in that one. It's just a blur.
It's kind of a shitty fight, actually.
Considering that, I guess my choice may not be that great. But it's the first one that popped in my head.
All right.
And that would be the Agent Smith versus Neo fight from Matrix Reloaded.
Oh.
Where he's multiplying and, like, he keeps coming in and, like, coming in through the gates. And so it's just Neo versus, like, a million dudes.
That's a good one, actually.
Yeah, it's hard to...
Part of me would be
afraid
that... You
could just be
that,
watching it from outside, though.
Like, I'd be watching it from the apartment complex, like, right above, like, eating popcorn. And then hoping that Agent Smith doesn't come and, like... clone me.
Eat your
whatever.
Popcorn.
Yeah. Oh, eat my popcorn too. But
so this is the fight.
That would be such a crazy fight to see in person.
So we're not making up a fight. We're picking ones that already exist.
Like a fight scene from a movie.
Like it's basically kind of your
favorite. Yeah, hey,
fight
if you want to be creative, I don't mind you doing that.
Like that you'd want to be a bystander watching.
Like
or paying
like
to
part
see
of me would fight. Like yeah. to see the Lord of the Rings fight where like Legolas and Gimli are like running around and jumping, but I'm pretty sure that like even front stage seating is pretty fucking far.
They're pretty dangerous. So, yeah.
That's probably not gonna be my choice. We kinda we'd talked about it a little bit, and I think that the Daredevil one of the first Daredevil fight scenes in the hallway.
Oh, you're stealing mine.
Yeah.
The stairwell
That's
fight
a good
scene.
One.
Yeah.
The hallway
I think that
scene.
One's...
God,
yeah.
The choreography is ridiculous.
I actually did see the hallway scene. It's pretty good.
It's such a great scene.
It is. You can do the Punisher one.
The Punisher prison scene.
Oh, God, that's a good one, too.
That's not my choice, one's brutal.
That's just dudes getting shafted and murdered.
But also remember that...
you have to sit there?
No, but you are relatively safe. I mean, you are in the audience, so
he's
you're
not going to stab you.
Right.
Like John Wick after his dog dies.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
That's such a great scene. Every scene in that movie is a great scene.
I haven't seen this scene go down. Okay, so did you you chose Daredevil's hallway?
I think the Daredevil hallway, just because it's so well choreographed that, you know, I used to like WWF as a child.
You know, I had another option, but I realized it's not actually a fight that's on screen. But I want to watch the fight of Liam Neeson at the end of The Gray where he takes on the wolf. But then I was like, oh, fuck, it goes black right before. Like,
yeah,
you don't get to actually
but I think
see
we know what's going
but
down.
But that's like fantasy fight. I want to see what happened.
Liam Neeson with the tiny liquor bottle.
I would pay $1 million just to see who won that fight.
Wow.
I haven't seen the scene. I've only seen clips. But when Wonder Woman's beating up the Nazis in that room, it looks pretty sick.
Oh, that's true. So you're thinking of like...
Nah, dude,
upcoming.
You haven't seen the scene yet.
Yeah,
I'm
might
just
suck.
Saying it looks sick.
All right.
If I were going to pick a fight... Okay, fine.
Gonna
a
shit
fight
over your dream,
a fight
your dream
that
fight.
Has already happened, I would pick the Hulk versus Iron Man. In
the South Africa one?
The South Africa
The Hulkbuster
one.
Iron Man?
Yeah, that one.
Okay.
That's a good choice. That is
pretty good
pretty
one.
Pretty badass.
Pretty good.
Well, you took my stairwell sequence. I got a couple. I don't like the movie, but Star Wars Episode One, the battle between
I thought of that one
Qui-Gon,
too.
Obi-Wan, and Darth
That's the
Maul.
Only good thing in Episode One,
and it's
but
great.
It's, but it is really
that
good.
Is
it's
like,
almost worth the 2 hours.
Hands
of suffering.
Down, one of the best fight scenes to date.
Yeah,
it's really good.
And you know, and I know it's new, but the when X-23 walks out of the silo.
Oh, yeah.
Or like the warehouse, and she like tosses the head. you know
yeah.
shit's about to happen. Oh, God. That's...
Cloud hasn't seen Logan.
Well,
I'm just shaking my head.
Well,
like, I don't know what we're talking
it's
about.
It's very early in the movie.
Early sequence of the movie that sells you on X-23 very, very quickly.
Yeah. We were talking about this before
one.
We started. I have
I
no time to go
that.
See movies lately, so I'm super behind on my movie knowledge.
Any big letdowns? What fights were like the fights where it's like 10 seconds and you're like, fuck, that was lame.
See, I would actually say that Man of Steel was, for me, that was like the biggest letdowns of the movies because I couldn't see anything.
I know. I agree with you. I think, you know, when
shut You shut up over here. They're shaking their heads at me.
They're sharing a silent head shake. Not head shake. Yeah.
It gets so noisy it gets boring after about 15 minutes.
You get boring and noisy after a while, and I still hang out with you guys.
Shut up.
Disappointments.
But I love, you guys have heard me a million times how much I love Superman. It was a disappointment.
Biggest disappointment, Yoda versus the Emperor.
Dude, I like that part.
That scene fucking blows.
Jose hates any time Yoda gets a lightsaber out.
I do, I hate it.
And I was like, oh, fuck.
Dude, the first, okay, we could shit on that scene all day long nowadays, but when that first happened, those audiences cheered. I remember that.
Yeah. I hated it from the start.
Whatever, dude, you fucking liked Jar Jar Binks from the start, so.
I was like nine, dude.
Yeah, you didn't hate on Yoda's fight scene. You were sitting right next to me.
No, I think Jeff can vouch that I've hated it for as long as he can remember.
He's talked shit on it for a while.
It's dumb.
Since he was nine, Jeff.
I don't know. It's maybe. Fun, but it is. It looks terrible. It was a bad one. It looks terrible.
Any other bad ones?
I'm trying to think of some bad.
Oh, the Hulk, the first Hulk?
Everything about that.
Oh, no, the Hulk.
Ang Lee one?
The Hulk versus the tank scene? That was a badass scene.
That was like 5 seconds, dude.
That's pretty badass.
Hulk versus the dogs.
Oh. Hulk versus the dogs, dude. That was a shitty scene.
That looks awful.
The mutant dogs.
It looks terrible.
Also, Superman, the one with Kevin Spacey. He doesn't punch anybody.
He takes a bullet to the eye.
That's it.
It's literally like the coolest part.
I didn't
part.
Even remember fight scenes from it. So yeah, I'd say those cool are disappointing.
The only cool part is the bullet to the eye and the plane scene.
Yeah.
That was like old school, reminiscent old school Superman.
Yeah.
Outside of that,
I like the plane
fucking
scene.
Sucks.
Honorable mention, I think I may have mentioned this before. I really like the quiet fight in the movie The Other Guys.
Did you guys
see that? I haven't seen it yet, and I want to like YouTube that. There's a silent fight in the movie.
Yeah, really? they're trying to be quiet because they're in a library.
Huh.
I don't remember that part.
Yeah, dude, it's like the funniest sequence in the whole film. It's like they're all like, shit, they're like rolling around.
It sounds hilarious.
Trying to be quiet about it.
You saw the movie?
I saw the movie, but the main part of The Other Guys that I remember is when it's The Rock and Samuel Jackson. They're all like, aim for the bushes. And then they're like, I can be your hero. Or something like, they play a song and then they just end up dying because they jumped off a building. They were like the star cops. I remember most of that movie.
I have two honorable mentions.
Well, actually, no, it's not a library. They're at like some ceremony or something like that, and they're trying to keep it down.
I have two honorable mentions. One is, but of course, the Cable Guy.
Yes.
That's pretty good.
Medieval Times.
Yeah.
No, I think that movie's underrated, and that whole movie's uncomfortable.
It's hilarious, and I love that fight scene. My other one would actually have to be the first time that we were starting to see some of these, just in the most recent of films, starting to see some of these more hand-to-hand combats was actually with Black Widow doing those leg wraparound scenes when she first was introduced.
I agree.
That was with Scarlett Johansson. I thought those were really cool, and... really impressive because Scarlett Johansson was doing most of them.
Good choice.
Yeah, those were awesome.
One more honorable mention. The Black Knight from Monty Python. It's only a flesh wound.
I'd
pay
good.
To see that.
I'll one-up that one with Men in Tights when he fights Little John.
Oh, dude.
And he knocks him into the little creek and he goes, I'm drowning. He's like, you could just stand up. It's not that deep.
Oh, so good.
That one's good.
Okay, those fun fights.
And then they start wagging each other's knuckles because they have those sticks.
Okay, so we need a winner here. So,
Duel of the Fates. I'll look for that one.
Yeah.
I forgot about that one.
Do I win by default there? That was probably one of the greatest.
That popped into my head too, and I didn't go with it. So I'm going to give it props.
I'm going to vote for that one.
Ding 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 ding. I'll go ahead and take that.
I guess it won.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Okay, so
I used to forward through entire episode 1 just to watch that one.
Absolutely. Okay,
so on repeat.
Maybe it's that good because everything else is that bad though. Are we thinking about the juxtaposition here?
No, that's one of the greatest lightsaber fights of all time.
It is cool. It's cool.
I mean, I woke up yesterday, I was like hungover and super tired and I was hungry as hell, and I had some Del Taco, and that was the best fucking
because
food
now,
ever.
The greatest part about that fight scene is it's so good that now whenever you hear the music, you're like, fucking fight scene.
They played it in Disneyland,
and I'm
like,
oh,
shit.
So good. Okay, so on the weekly wrap-up, guys, what do we got? What do we have going on this week?
You guys went to Game of Thrones concert.
Game of Thrones live concert.
Jeff and I did not participate.
I sat on my
ass. Suckers.
Yeah, so me and Cloud City were in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Dude, and
people getting shot and murdered.
People were going crazy, burglaries,
actually.
Shootings. Yeah, but the best part was Game of Thrones live concert.
I gotta see
that
Game of Thrones concert. Fucking give it to me. Shoot your head off, man.
Jeez.
Yeah, if you don't know this, Game of Thrones is touring around the country doing a concert with a full orchestra and lots of visual effects. So I'll let you go ahead and start. Claude, what do you think? What was your take on it?
It had me at hello. It had me at hello.
Mops.
It was it took all the best highlights from all of the episodes and put them together to tell their own story. And it kicks you off with spoiler alert, guys, if you're going to go see it, just turn this off and then come back and visit us when you're done.
For sure.
But it kicks you off with getting to just get behind each of the houses and reintroduces you to the houses with banners coming down.
That's
and
cool.
Banners being played, and they're on the big screens, and there's these huge screens that are they're all moving around, but there's one giant one on both sides that are playing the main scene that's going on. It's so beautiful. The orchestra is incredible. Sometimes when you're staring at the scenes and you get so involved in the scene, you forget that they're live. Because they're so perfect.
Yeah.
They actually are playing with local orchestras. They're traveling super fast. They were doing Vegas our night on Saturday when we went. They were in Phoenix the very next night. And they're playing with local orchestras, which means they have no time to practice with these local orchestras. And they're phenomenal. We saw Las Vegas' local orchestra.
Yeah.
They're phenomenal. It's perfect. And it's beautiful. And it makes you cry. And it makes you want to see Game of Thrones all over again in preparation for season 7.
Yeah.
And, I can't, I was sitting next to Jimmy, and he has not seen the final season in completion yet.
Okay.
Which he knew he was walking into a bunch of spoilers. And spoilers, if you haven't, again, turn this all off. But the whole Hold the Door episode gets played just in, the moment.
Yeah.
And I was, bawling, and he kind of doesn't really understand what's going on. Mm-hmm. And he's like, what the fuck? They're just holding the door.
Yeah.
I mean, he gets it, but he didn't get,
they took
that
all those
episode.
Highlights. Because it's touring around with Ramin Djawadi, who is the composer for the music for Game of Thrones. And he actually, they highlight him. He actually comes on, he plays, a dulcimer at one point. He plays piano at one point.
There are some crazy instruments in this from that woodwind.
Oh my God,
guy.
The percussionist
He's
in the woodwind.
He's got the didgeridoo or doohickey.
That
guy.
He had this one horn that was 12 feet long. But the visual effects that they used in the show itself, they had the tree, and they had leaves falling from the ceiling, and they had snow falling from the ceiling.
People were growing trees too.
Yeah, absolutely. But
there's
the sequence from the last season when the dragons take out the ships. They had the scene with the dragons flying, and they had fire basically shooting from where the screens where the dragons were.
It
so it looked
warm.
Like
there was
flames
it was
kind of
hot
out.
In these rhinos.
Did they have any titties?
They didn't bring titties.
Ah, oh, darn.
I know.
What's the point?
No titties.
No.
They didn't make a family
3D.
Friend. You know, I was actually thankful because they showed all the depressing, it was
Game of Thrones in 3D.
Yeah, losing Ned, the Red Wedding.
Yeah, that was rough. Again.
Yeah, what's his face?
A lot of Daenerys's her coming.
Ramsay,
through.
All
and
this stuff.
No titties.
Yeah, but they had all the highlights.
They just cut it out. She still her clothes burned off, but they just cut out
before
you see titties.
Yeah,
short.
Yeah. So you had to see some blood. It was a great Game of Thrones for that, for Christ's sake. But
these fucking clown shoes over here. Their commentary on the titties still.
Sounds like it's not worth it.
It's amazing.
It is amazing. It's still touring around. If you get a chance, I think it ends in Portland.
It ends in Portland on April 2nd. So doesn't have too many more dates.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'm fucked.
Guess I'll just have to imagine it.
But there is one stop in Minus Canada for titties. All you Canadian friends. And
check it out there, eh?
It's just, it's honestly just a beautiful, if you just appreciate orchestra, because I've gone to go see a couple different shows, just orchestra and traveling in my travels. I enjoy doing that. It's, you know, beautiful to listen to these people who work so hard on their craft.
Yes.
And for that, it is incredible. They are really great musicians. It's not a gimmick, you know, like this.
It's not,
yes.
Yeah.
There is that side of Game of Thrones and they're capturing on an audience, sure, but what they've produced is not gimmicky at all. It is beautiful. It is a great production, and the composer, this was really his vision, and you can just hear his excitement just kind of coming through on the microphone as he speaks to something that he finally gets to do. Like, I think he's been waiting all six seasons to get to do something like this.
Yeah, yeah. And just to echo what you said, I figured it would be, okay, some scenes from Game of Thrones with some orchestra in the background. I was not expecting how well-designed the visual effects were going to be and how they really, they told a story. They went from season to season, and you got a continuous flow of the plot and the major, you know, moments, the emotional impact moments, and they really did a great job, and they also coordinated with the performers, like everything from, like, you know, the walk of shame, you know, you had you had the choir walking down off the stage,
yeah,
you know, with books in their hand,
still,
you know, singing,
titties.
You know,
still no titties, then.
Okay, whatever.
God,
we got two people.
You
uncultured
swine.
You guys are 12 years old. Okay, so, but highly recommend the Game of Thrones concert experience. That's
actually
what it was.
For, like, Jimmy, who's not, like, probably not, again, he dropped off in the last season. He thought this was one of the top five live performances he's ever seen, and he's
wow.
been a musician all his life,
yeah,
and goes to a lot of shows. This was one of his top five. It was beautiful.
It was
crazy.
Yeah. Nice. Okay, so on to the next subject. This is something I didn't see, and I know
yes.
the two 12-year-olds in the room who need titties.
Yeah,
they did.
All right, 12-year-olds, let's talk about Power Rangers.
It's all you guys.
Yeah.
Go Power Rangers.
Cultured adults who love Power
First
Rangers.
First of all, Power Rangers. Had titties. No, they didn't.
Did
they didn't.
Because I'm
too young.
Too young.
Anyways.
You want to start?
You want to? I don't know.
Whatever. Anyways, so we went to go see Power Rangers. Jeff had done more research than I did on reviews.
So the reviews have been pretty consistently saying that this is a great nostalgia
bad.
Trip for anyone who loved the show and loved the early movies. And the earlier renditions of the characters, and basically was saying, you know, all the reviews were saying, hey, it's nothing that special, but you're going to like it.
Yeah.
And I will agree. I think I had lower expectations because of those reviews, and then I ended up liking it more than I thought I was.
Yeah, there's some moments when you're like, oh, that's like TV show. Like,
if you
Rita
go,
says,
yeah.
make my monster grow.
Like, they quote the show a lot,
yeah.
but they do it in ways that aren't as cheesy as I expected, and they do manage to get away with a good amount of cheese.
Yes.
Power Rangers is cheese.
Yeah,
though.
Like that's
no,
what
Power
and that's
Rangers
what I would
not
have
cheese.
I would have been disappointed. Well, no, it is. If you watch those old shows, they are cheesy. But like if I had gone into that movie and there was no
like purse, what was that like monster that was like purse monster
yeah,
or something?
Yeah. No, they're super cheesy.
Like, shut up, Milo.
But I would have been disappointed if this movie had tried to negate all of that
yeah,
and make it a very serious movie. And they don't take themselves too seriously. And when they do get serious, there's a quick moment to kind of like break up that seriousness. And the characters are all really well developed, I thought, for the amount of time that they're actually on screen. Like, you obviously get to meet... You get to know the Red Ranger and the Blue Ranger and the Pink Ranger a little bit more than the Black and the Yellow Ranger, but they all get a pretty good amount of time to kind of get you to root for them.
Yeah, and I didn't hate any of the Rangers.
Yeah, and it made me appreciate Zordon a lot more. Zordon's pretty badass in this movie.
Yeah,
they start.
Alpha
okay,
was pretty good
spoiler
too.
Spoiler alert. Should we go with spoiler,
yeah.
minor spoilers?
Yeah, we should
do it.
So they start the movie off with a flashback to the Cretaceous period, and it's the original Power Rangers lineup, and Zordon and Rita are Power Rangers. And Zordon's the Red Ranger and Rita's the Green Ranger. And Rita goes bad and destroys the Power Rangers. That's like how she starts.
Okay.
So they give you a lot more backstory on why the Rangers have been in like seclusion, and they discover the ship underground, and Zordon's like mental, like his consciousness has been uploaded into the computer system, and then Alpha 5 is there, and he's like maintaining the ship all these millions of years. And it's really
also,
cool.
What's cool is like Zordon's dying and he hides the little chips, and then he sends the asteroid.
He sends the ship that has his consciousness down onto the planet.
And that's what
it's very Superman.
It was crazy.
And that's what causes the extinction. And then they also mention like the Zords. You're always like, why are they dinosaurs? It makes no sense.
You know what I love about this description is that I can just hear the love.
I know, right? They're like,
you guys are just fucking
awesome. Talking about trees growing.
Seriously.
And,
yeah, like,
so
oh
the
God.
Zords are take the form of whatever the most powerful animals are on the planet at that time. So they took the form of the dinosaurs and the saber tooth tigers.
All right, you guys need to stop with the spoilers, because that would have been a cool thing to know. Just kidding.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. It's pretty sweet.
I wonder if, okay, so did you guys know that the Power Rangers that we know in America aren't the first ones?
Yeah. No, yeah. They're, yeah,
we know.
Japan
had Super Sentai before this. Mm-hmm. Well, it's currently live streaming on the network that I work for, and I need to go watch it because I want to know if all of this is in there. But the monsters are all the same.
Yes,
they reuse
stock footage and then just rename the characters.
There's multiple versions. Like, they just now created a Korean version, and there's like a couple other languages too.
And everybody has their like their iteration of them that they grew up with and love.
Yeah. Well, we grew up, and let's be clear, this is having to do with Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Yes, Mighty Morphin is the original.
Than in space?
Well, no, they were in, they send Rita to space where in the TV show she's controlling things from the moon.
No, but there was a Power Rangers in space. Yeah.
There was, but I forget.
There's some cool cameos at the end you'll appreciate. And then
they have an after credits.
Stay
tuned
for the after credits scene.
So you guys definitely recommend this one, obviously.
If you like Power Rangers, if you can appreciate 90s cheese.
Also,
cool. And do you guys think there's going to be a sequel?
We read a review, and I'm just going to call this review out. I'm not going to name any names.
No, I'll name names. It's comingsoon.net. Piece of shit writer on comingsoon.net.
Wow.
I'll call you out, dude. If you ever listen to this podcast, come be a guest on our podcast, and I'll rip you a new one.
Here's my problem with the review, all right? So they said, first off, they criticized how long Power Rangers has been running. And your review is already invalid, because if you have a franchise that runs for decades, then you're a fucking success. And I don't care what anybody says. If your franchise can get as cheesy and everybody can hate it, but if it's successful enough to
almost
run
30
for
years
fucking
later,
25 years.
No, I agree. I think if any work of art that does what it attempts
this
to accomplish,
is what pissed me off.
It's hard enough to say it.
Kurt, you'll appreciate what pissed me off about the article. The first sentence was, "There's nothing worse than a good idea."
Oh, eat my balls.
And I said, what the fuck? Yeah, like, what does that mean?
Lee recommended to go see it. I gave it a solid 8. It wasn't like a fantastic movie. It feels a little bottom heavy with the action.
From the reviews I read, I went in expecting a 6, and I gave it like a 7 or an 8. So, it's good. Sequels will probably be better.
You haven't seen it. How can you give it a 6?
No. I'm just teasing you. Again, that movie was not made for me. So
it was made for you. Just don't know.
Okay, so let's get on to the right game.
Oh, wait, Milo has one more thing.
Yeah, what's
it's
up?
Real quick. Just the Mass Effect Andromeda. I played it
more. Yeah, go.
I don't know if my article ever went up.
It did. Yep. Okay. It's up there.
I didn't see it.
Oh, I need to.
It wasn't. Mass Effect Andromeda is getting a lot of shit, and I just want to go out and say I'm playing it. I'm a really big fan of 1, 2, and 3. Yes, it's not as good as 1. Actually, I'll say it's as good as 1. Not as good as 2 or 3. But Mass Effect Andromeda does everything that every other Mass Effect does. I feel like it's being put up against these Commander Shepard style games that were just already super developed in characters and stuff, and everybody remembers 2 and 3 now. They don't remember 1. And I feel like it's giving me a lot of gameplay. It's giving me character development. I feel very familiar with this universe. And I think the reason everybody talks shit on it is because they don't give Mass Effect room for having bugs, having texture issues, having some voice acting issues sometimes. But I think the story's all there. And if I'm going to remind everybody, and this is my last thing on it, if you let Bethesda get away with the shit it gets away with, you can let BioWare get away with a little bit, all right? Because Fallout 4 was fucking horrible garbage shit.
Oh my God.
For like, no, when I first played that
game. No, it wasn't.
Shit fell into walls and stuff didn't work and things. It happens all the time in those games. All I'm saying is that BioWare and Fallout 4 have the same problems, and you can let it slide for some developers, but not all. I don't think that's fair. It's a good game, yeah. And the online is awesome. And I'm having fun with it. So I suggest you at least try it out. I give it a solid 8 on that, too. I don't think it's the greatest Mass Effect game I ever played. But it's a Mass Effect game.
How many girlfriends do you have?
I don't have any.
Aww.
They haven't gotten that far yet.
Okay. Yeah.
Trying on one, but she's a little
resistant.
So it's
like
resistant.
Real life? I'm just kidding.
All right. I'm leaving.
Right game.
On to the right game. Okay, we're doing a little bit of comics and writing.
I need to be nice to Jose. He's giving me a ride to the airport.
Dude, he's leaving your ass here.
So our rotating segments, we're on the right game today. And we're going to talk a little bit about the new comic book, America, that both me and Cloud had a chance to take a look at. And I had posted up on our site an interview with Gabby Rivera, who's the writer and creator of America. And I like it a lot. I really get a kick out of it. But it's our, what I guess, right from the get-go, we have a character that's Latina, but she's also gay, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're going for.
And gay and has two moms.
Yes.
Like has gay, comes from gay parents.
Yep. Yep. And and it's not like it doesn't feel artificial. Yeah. Well, go ahead. What do you take on it? So America, and then this is a Marvel publication. So it's mainstream. It's not like we're watching, you know, something off of like, you know, Image, you know, which wouldn't be surprising at all, but Marvel's doing it.
Yeah, the reason I read it too was because you shared it out through Tiny Table's Facebook. So if you guys aren't following us there, you really should, because that's actually how I found out about it, was you shared out a really cool clip about Gabby, the writer, speaking out about how people immediately jumped on board, because this came out in March, and it's the second issue is on pre-order right now, so it's very recent. And I was like, I have to read this, because I'm a Mexican girl. I don't know. I needed to read it, and you know, it just sounded really cool. And at the same time, we were talking about it, Stax and I, and we were like, we started kind of talking about Ms. Marvel, and I was like, I'm going to read both of them now, just to kind of have both of them, you know, in my head and see which one I like more. And honestly, I like Ms. Marvel more. I think that it's a little bit less forward, and now I don't know if that's fair or unfair for me to say, because shouldn't we get to have a character that's forward? Like I believe in like what Gabby's writing. I believe in how she's making it a part of that universe, and that's just how it is. But it just, it's a little heavy-handed for me right now, out the gate.
Yeah, and I would say, I mean, obviously, just from a critical point of view, G. Willow Wilson, who wrote Miss Marvel, also, she's a novelist. She's an award-winning writer. She is a fucking serious writer. I knew of Wilson because I read A Leaf the Unseen, which is an amazing book. If you guys want to read something that's really great, it's a mixture of sort of sci-fi, a techno espionage with spirits and genies, and it's oh god, it's exceptional. So and if you read Ms. Marvel, it doesn't have the same type of heavy-handedness. It's there. You know, it just happens to be, you know, a girl who has a Muslim family. So the cool thing about Ms. Marvel, you feel that tension. It's almost like it's like a girl who's a teenager who's trying to adjust to this culture shock. Her family wants her to be, you know, a traditional, you know, Muslim little girl, and she's trying to, you know, develop her own identity. So it doesn't feel forced. It kind of
I think
and America is in your face.
That's what it is. America's so in your face, and she's so in your face about being both Latin and I don't think America, the character herself, is in your face about being gay. I think that it's just kind of really prominent in the first issue.
Yeah, yeah.
I definitely am super interested to get the next ones and kind of see how that all pans out, because this is also the setup and it needed to make a statement, which is kind of like sad that in today's world we still need to be making statements. But I feel like Gabby has a plan here. I feel like there was a need to like kind of make some noise. But it was a little loud for me.
Yeah, because it's like, I mean, some of the stuff, I mean, it's funny, though. I mean, you know, obviously it's great. It's you know, it's her name's America Rivera. And, you know, it's all flags, right?
And
And I love, like, the first, like, battle. It's like, it's the enemy has, like, a pure beam of white light, you know? It's like...
Yeah.
Which is like, come on now. It doesn't have to be white that's killing everybody. It's pretty fun.
But
everybody
it's fun.
It is fun. Like the whole,
but they're
introduction,
having fun with it.
They really are. Yeah.
And I think
has the white man ever done to you?
No, they're having a lot of fun with it. She actually, at the start of it, she's actually in a relationship with a white female. So like there's, you know, like it's cool. I'm totally in for reading more of it, because there's a side of her that I really like, that she's so forward that way. But I don't see myself in her, which I think maybe is what others do see and why people jumped on board. I actually see more of myself in Miss Marvel. So it's kind of cool to have that character, just because she, you know, she's trying to like please her family. She is a good girl, but she needs to find her own identity. She kind of seems like she's a first generation here, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
And she also doesn't feel comfortable in her own skin, but she doesn't feel comfortable in anybody else's either. So like I felt a lot stronger of a connection to reading Ms. Marvel and wanting to continue where her story goes. But I think that America's fun, and maybe I just wasn't ready for how like in your face it was going to be right out the get go. I also got to read Ms. Marvel as a trade, so I got to get 5 issues in, whereas this one I'm judging it based off of one episode.
Right,
issue.
Yeah, and it is an introduction.
And this is a brand new character, right? The America comic?
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Can we talk about that?
Can we talk about how I
That's
applaud?
That's fine, yeah, because I mean...
I applaud
this
new characters.
Is something that I fully support.
Inclusiveness, but don't like recreate an old character.
Create a brand new character that is compelling enough to carry her own name and
have differences. And have
I'm gonna
battles.
Fight you guys on this one with Miss Marvel.
And
no, yeah, I know. Miss Marvel is. I'm
look,
sorry,
because
guys.
There's a reason why she's Miss Marvel.
Yes,
there's a reason for it. So you have to read Miss Marvel to understand the reason why she's Miss Marvel.
Yes,
all right.
It's not
but most
just
of the time,
of,
maybe Miss Marvel, but most of the time they're just like, well, now this person is this.
We've
had,
no, but read Miss Marvel.
I'll read it. I won't judge.
Yeah, we've had this argument with Brian Michael Bendis.
Times
did this with Iceman, and I know people are like, "What the fuck?"
It just doesn't make sense. It's not like, look, I'm
because there's a whole history that's been
like
developed with
you
the
made
character.
60 years into the character,
I agree. I think that
know,
I think
evolution,
that is,
and now he's changing
like,
genders or
I'll use Star Wars. I'll use Star Wars.
I think
Clone
that's
Wars as an example.
I think that's unfair to the character. Not that it's bad that you know he's you know portrayed as gay, but like it's the idea that like you know because you know if you're gay, you're gay. It's not like you know. 40 years in, you went, they just told me I'm gay now. But
the thing is, I'm not necessarily pissed. You know, like, I'm not a big fan of Iceman, you know, particularly. So, like, when they made him gay, I was like, oh, well, that's weird. Like, I wasn't mad, but I was like, why did they do that? I'll tell you what made me mad was when they, like, my favorite character is Colossus. And for years, I've been a Colossus fan, and his girlfriend was Shadowcat and Kitty Pryde. And then all of a sudden, one issue, I picked it up, and he's, like, making out with a freaking, like, a dude. And I was like, don't get me wrong, like, I'm not homophobic or anything, but I was like, why are you changing my favorite character after all these years for no reason?
Yeah, I'll use
other than to be, you know, what seems like a pretty pathetic attempt to be PC.
I'll use Star Wars. I'll use Star Wars as an example. Obi-Wan Kenobi in Clone Wars he's like the Mandalore like girl. He's like in love with her, and Obi-Wan's always like, you can't be involved with people. You can't be involved. But then you notice he takes it easy on like Anakin, even though he knows something's going on. He takes it easy.
So they changed Obi-Wan's character in Clone Wars a little bit to have his own relationship, which he never fully realizes. He has like a conflict with it, and it's obviously there that they have feelings for each other, but he never actually gets directly involved with her, actually made sense later when he was like understanding of Anakin's conflict.
But
all that stuff. So we're saying that you can change characters if it makes sense.
Let me say this. You know, when it comes to, and I don't think it's just about being PC.
I don't think so either.
Hang on, but it's about the inclusion. Well, I mean, it can be, but typically you got to understand these are major characters that have been, yes, for 50, 60 years, but they've excluded real people for 50, 60 years.
I don't think it's
kind of like saying, look, okay, we're just recognizing that be there if this wasn't, you know, you weren't excluded for.
I think it would be much more impactful for the X-Men or like a team like the Avengers or the X-Men or the Justice League to welcome in a new character of that particular, you know, group that you're trying to appeal to, rather than just to take something that's already there and change it. It's more, I think that it says a lot more for them to welcome and respect a new point of view rather than change someone else's.
Let me ask you this though, but then do you like, say, like, take the movies now, do you like Ant-Man? Do you like the current rendition of Ant-Man and how that story played out? Why can a guy take over another guy and we're all like, woo, that Ant-Man's the best, which I do think is that Ant-Man's
already.
But he didn't exist right from the get-go. There wasn't two versions of
the
Ant-Man right off the get-go.
The other, like, three, four.
The other Ant-Mans are wife beaters.
But also Iceman, you got to remember that they were dealing with different timelines.
Here's my problem with it. It has nothing to do with inclusion.
I know people get upset when you change characters.
I'm totally cool with inclusion. I'm not in any way bigoted, but I'm just saying, like,
don't mess with the pre-existing characters.
My problem is with the way it's driven. It's driven by sales. It's not driven by actual.
Well, look, I don't think that's
America Worm is Marvel.
You're not
going to
sell more comic books because someone's gay.
And with these two specifically that we're talking about, I don't think that's it at all. Yes, there's a female market you need to hit, but there's a female market that is screaming for more from what they that they want to connect with. Yeah. So it's a little unfair to deny them that. And honestly, read Ms. Marvel, guys, because it's a great way to have done that lineage. That makes complete sense as to why she is not another character.
Read it.
But there's a lot of women and minority women who need something. And if you just try to give them, America's a great one because she is new. So I do agree with you on the refresh and bringing somebody new and how cool that is. But on the other hand, like they were like what Stax was saying, like they were we like that minorities and minorities of any kind were ignored for so long that they need to find a way to bring them into the universe, and just introducing a whole bunch of new ones might be
You're not going to have a popular character by bringing some new
I hear your way and again, if someone changes a character, I don't get upset, I don't stop buying comics. It's not really that big of a deal to me.
It's good to have new characters,
too.
But it's the
creativity
behind it, yeah.
And the... I feel like it gives them more of a voice when it's a different character, because when it's a new character, I just feel they have more room to expand.
But you guys know this. I mean, you have different versions of Batman. You have different versions of,
that's the point I was trying to make with Batman.
I've never played into multiple universes.
We have timelines, the multiverse. You know, so they reinvent these characters all the time. And if one of the reinventions happens to be, you know, a gay character, a female, or trans, or whatever, I don't care. I mean, as long as they're well written.
I don't want to be misunderstood. I don't care. In the sense that if it happens, it happens.
Well, but I also want to. I understand. We're nerds. We don't like people fucking with our stuff.
Yep.
That's my character. Don't fuck with my character.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
That's all I'm saying is I prefer new characters. If you change a character, I'm still going to read it. I mean.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I love Godzilla, and I found out if he was gay, I wouldn't stop liking Godzilla.
No, I'm out. If Godzilla's gay, I'm out. I'm just kidding.
No, I just, like, for me, I don't know. My favorite characters.
Topic in general.
It is.
For
yeah.
us to think we can attack it in, like, a second is.
My
not,
favorite characters are, like, Zatanna and Wonder Woman. And for me, Zatanna, you can change her. I don't think.
Well, oh, no. Do you and shit bricks that they change? Are no, you kidding me?
I think you can change her because she's kind of one of those malleable
characters.
What if
they changed Zatanna to a dude, though? And he was Zatanna.
That doesn't make sense.
And he had a really big package in that outfit.
And he was like black man, and he was Zatanna.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, he was Zatanna, but he was like RuPaul.
Yeah. I mean, if they did I'd read it and be like, I wonder
what
where they're going.
I'm saying, I'd watch it. Freaking RuPaul's Drag Race is one of my favorite things to watch.
I mean, if they changed it, I'd read it. I don't think it would make any sense. I guess if they did it right, maybe. I don't know. But like
right.
Wonder Woman,
I agree with you guys. It's about doing it right. That's why I say read Miss Marvel.
Wonder Woman, like, I was in full support
when they. I was in full support when they made Catwoman.
Some characters are just set kind of the way they are.
In the current comics, Catwoman is bisexual, and I was like, "Oh, that makes sense." Like, I didn't even for 1 minute go. Well, why are they doing that
again? Well, we did that fucking reaction video. God, I'm saying fuck a lot. Then I gotta stop it. we had the reaction video with the Wonder Woman thing, and people had a fit because you know we.
It's easy
but
to
Trevor,
say.
But the problem with the. Mentioning that is that well guess what guys, well number one Wonder Woman was World War II, not World War I, which is mm-hmm. what we're starting with the film.
Yeah.
And you know, and there are multiple incarnations of Wonder Woman where she's not with anybody.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about a character like fucking Trevor was left back years ago. When was the last time we fucking heard a fucking Trevor story? And there are modern incarnations of Wonder Woman where she's gay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at least it's suggested. So people, like, again, the people get so upset if you, like, you know, your version of Wonder Woman wasn't the authentic one, and everyone else's version is shit.
You know what I'm learning from this segment is maybe I should just stop caring so much and just read the fucking comic book.
It's true. There you go.
It's true.
I guess that's true. I mean, now that I hear myself saying it out loud sometimes, I'm like, well, I guess it's not that big of a deal.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
So, I mean, I'm... You know,
I do think it's read it. And
I
think that
some reservations on what characters I love.
I think you guys
and
make,
I want them a certain way, but if they change them,
I think you guys make a valid point in what and exactly what Jeff said. Like, you know, if it's done with the right reasoning,
and
if the storyline's good,
that's exactly. Yeah. And I feel like sometimes I've read shit where they change it, and I'm all like, that doesn't make any sense.
But I think, but on the other hand, staying a little bit open minded as to why it needs to happen and why it's important, and actually, like you just said right now, like reading it. And then deciding how you felt about it versus just hearing what like coverage it gets and stuff. Because that's always going to be
all
the
right.
most.
I'll go read Miss Marvel and I'll go read the girl Thor, which I'm not sure how that
it's
works.
Jane.
They changed the name too?
No. Jane wields the power of Thor. That's the new girl Thor.
Basically. Oh, so it's a new character.
Yes.
Okay, then that's fine.
So you just,
I was just
you
saying.
You should read it anyway.
If you made Thor a girl
maybe
and named it Thor.
Maybe the story's not good. Who knows?
It just doesn't make sense.
Read Miss Marvel. Yeah. Read Thor.
I'll read them. But, I mean, I'm not against reading them.
But again, G. Willow Wilson is an extraordinary writer, and I you're not going to go wrong with Miss Marvel. It's kind of like when they put... Ta-Nehisi Coates, you know, in charge of Black Panther. I mean, he's a legitimate writer, so you're not going to go wrong with it. It's so good. So despite whether, you know, but again, try it out. I think you'll like it.
Anyway, I actually think you'll like Miss Marvel for a lot of the same reasons I do.
God, it's so great. Yeah.
I think you'll relate to her.
So, and check out America. I thought the comic was fun. Did you catch there's a panel with the writer.
Yes, with Gabby in it,
so
which is
great.
Fucking great and brilliant. And I love that because she's so freaking stoked about writing this thing.
Yeah, she's just, you can't not love her.
Oh my God. I love her. I will continue to read them, even though it was a little in your face. You know, you having said, have fun with it. I'm like, you know what? Maybe it was because it was the first, I read Miss Marvel second. It was the first thing I read this morning. And I was just like, okay, maybe I was like in too serious of a mood still in the morning. But when you said like, you should just have fun with it, I was like, oh yeah, that stuff was over the top, but it's also really fun.
Yeah. It's
Gabby is infectious. That is.
Yeah, for sure.
No, I shared her video thing. That was really cool.
It was cool. It's great.
Yeah.
Okay. So on to advice.
I think we should skip it. I think we've done a lot of good chatter.
Are we going to save it for next time?
Yeah. I think so.
Save it, put a bow on it, and
sounds good. So, what do we got for
zip it up or zip it out?
What do we have for wrap up, guys?
Reference.
Final words.
The new Dave Chappelle stand-up special, hilarious. It will offend you beyond all. Like,
I do want to see it.
It's really funny.
I started watching it, but then I fell asleep.
I feel it's a neat perspective from somebody who is older, from a different generation, speaking about his experience and where he comes from. It's weird because I feel like it'll offend everybody my age, like beyond, like they won't think it's funny or anything. And he kind of talks about how, like, he knows it's going to offend everybody, but he's like, but here's what, you're not listening to where I'm coming from. And it's not offensive in, like, he's like says anything that's really, like, you know, anti something. It's just he speaks from his, like, perspective. As I think one of his jokes was, he talks about Bill Cosby, and he actually is like, dude, he did terrible things, but, like, you also have to realize that it's when I grew up, he was just Bill Cosby. He didn't do terrible things. So when he, like, talks about how he has conversations with people about it, and, like, well, this is how I know him, and, like, I'll admit that he did a terrible thing, but it's also, like, but you can't disregard all the things he did, too. Like, it's weird. Mm. It's an interesting kind of thing. Like, he talks about how Bill Cosby is the first black man to win an Emmy. He's the first black man to have a show that got ratings up the same as the Super Bowl and stuff like that. So he says, like, I recognize those things, but I admit that he did a terrible thing, and, like, he's not a fan of him anymore because of that. Like, he's not his hero for that. Like, it's kind of an interesting... I don't know. You gotta watch it.
Dude, I read the whole... This is so weird because I haven't finished the Chappelle thing, but for some reason, I read the whole Bill Cosby Wikipedia page about the scandals last night.
Oh, my God.
And then I was watching the comedian that... quote unquote broke the news of it,
Hannibal,
like his interview, Cannibal Burst, who his interview. I don't know why I went down like I'm really interested to watch the Chappelle show because I went down a rabbit hole of Bill Cosby the other night.
Well,
yeah, you missed it on NPR. They had Neil Brennan, who's the co-creator of the Chappelle show and a writer, and he's an amazing writer. People seem to miss the fact that, you know, that Chappelle worked with some amazing people, well, primarily Neil Brennan, who's a white guy. And Brennan used to get all kinds of shit about being David Chappelle's writer. And he came back and wrote that sketch that you saw on Saturday Night Live with David Chappelle. He did an interview on NPR a few weeks back that was great. It was great to hear. He's just an amazing writer. And Chappelle is an amazing artist, God. So I will definitely check out the stand-up.
Yeah, it's really neat. I think I've been watching a lot of things, though, about, like, expanding your mind and not just, like, not reacting so strong to something with hate, but, like, you have to understand where people's perspectives come from. So something, you can recognize a terrible thing, but you also have to recognize...
I think we come from a very...
we come from a very polarized...
Our generation is very defensive.
Yeah,
and you have to recognize that a terrible thing is a terrible thing.
Absolutely.
And then also, though, recognize, like,
there's history behind it.
There's history.
There's a way real people behind it.
There's a way you can be defensive on both sides.
Shit, like, I guess we're not skipping advice, yo.
I'm watching a lot of things on, like, race and stuff because I'm a minority. So, I mean,
me too.
It's kind. So it just, like, I have to understand, like, you know,
you're not even a minority in this room, dude.
I just it's interesting to understand, like, as a minority, not to be angry about things and to be choose what you're angry about. Essentially, that's my final word. Choose what you're research something
final
before
word
you get
become
angry.
A segment.
That's my thing.
This is pretty good, damn good advice good. By Milo over here.
That was very solid stuff.
Seriously.
I have to admit. My final words, I'm going to WonderCon next week. That's pretty much.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Yay, WonderCon.
I think so.
My final words.
Am I going?
So we see you all in Anaheim.
My final words are, I'm going to Hong Kong in T-minus
a couple hours.
7 hours.
Oh, Jeff's going to Hong Kong.
Okay.
First class.
We're expecting Disney Hong Kong.
He's on standby right now.
Please, Disney Kong.
I will be posting a Nerd Navigator article and hopefully making some videos or something cool for you
guys.
If
you see some, like, kick-ass. I know that it's not in Japan, but some kick-ass Godzilla shit. Pictures all day long.
Chinese media is huge something Godzilla from Hong Kong, and I would love you forever. Because they sold a shitload of Pacific Rim.
I realize it's not Japan. Oh, and Pacific Rim. Oh my God. Take pictures.
They're huge on that stuff out there.
My final words are, if you haven't checked out Chicken Scream as your app game of the week, check out Chicken Scream. It is a, it's exactly what it sounds like. There's a little chicken and you control his move-alongs of this game. Think of something very similar to like a Sonic, but it's not pushing you along. An original Sonic the Hedgehog, but you scream in order to make him jump. You make noises in order to make him walk. You basically control him through volume. I've been screaming like a mad woman in my house, and thank God I don't live in an apartment anymore.
That's awesome. Okay, everybody. Well, thank you very much for joining us again at Tiny Table 3. We'll see you next week. And don't forget to check us out at tinytable3.com for all the nerd articles. And, of course, check out our YouTube channel where lots of you guys have been joining us for reaction trailer videos. And we love it. And, of course, the podcast, because you're here listening. Don't forget to subscribe so you catch all the latest updates from Tiny Table 3. We'll catch you all later.
Bye.
Yeah, see ya.
Yeah, boy. No flavor at the end.
Yeah, I got a quick confession. It's gotta be made.